There's King George.
Did you ever know King George thought he was a chicken?
Oh, this is Rosie on the House. If you're just joining the conversation, as many of you are, because not all of our network affiliates take the 7 o'clock hour. We had Dr. Dean, history professor at Grand Canyon University on, and apparently
talking
King George
Declaration
thought he was a chicken.
Yes. And yes, among, I think he thought he was several animals.
He was a goofball.
So you can go get that hour on our podcast, just a wonderful hour of American and constitutional history.
That was a great hour. I really, really enjoyed that hour.
But we are in the outdoor living hour now, when we have Jay Harper of Harper's Nursery. If you've got a question about your outdoor garden or landscape, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you, along with Julie Murphy of the Arizona Farm Bureau. Our food prices are down. It's the very end of corn season for the lower valleys before it starts shifting up towards Dewey. And even we grow corn as high as Snowflake in Arizona.
Yes, they have festivals all over the valley and up north and out in Wilcox. And today, if you one more day left at Freeman Farms on the corner of Center and Brown, and if you mention Farm Bureau, you'll get a dollar off your dozen ears of corn.
And last year, you brought in the corn, and it was so sweet, we did nothing but shuck it and eat it completely raw. And it was, I mean, we 8 o'clock in the morning, and it was a wonderful snack.
Where is that?
It's on Center and Brown in Mesa, on the southeast corner.
Freeman Farms.
Freeman Farms.
Sweet corn, a dollar off if you mention the Farm Bureau.
Absolutely.
All right, there you go.
And with a little bit of break in the heat, is there any sign of relief in soon? Have we got through our hot June? Is July and the rain's coming? Or
we've had a little rain here and there, and certainly there's nothing like rain to perk plants up, make things look better, settle the dust, all of that stuff. And so it really, really helps. Just the humidity, the influx of humidity. Here's an example. Last weekend, or, you know, leading up to last weekend, we could hardly keep the nursery watered. I mean, you just kind of started at one end and, you know, 118, 19, wind's blowing, it's dry, no humidity. It just sucks the moisture out of plants. You know, this last week, towards the end of the week, you know, still pretty warm, not 118 or 19, but 105, 6 in humidity, and we're down to not even watering some things every day. So that's what it does for your plants. It might make us a little more uncomfortable because we sweat and it's sticky and that, but if you're a plant, you're loving this weather, even with, you know, 100 degree temperatures, when the dew points get up there in the 50s, you know, they just don't lose moisture as fast into the atmosphere, so that, you know, just slows things down for them and they're able to recuperate and they don't dry out as fast. That being said, one thing that folks need to kind of watch, if you really ramped your watering system up, you know, for that 118 or 19 in low humidity, you may want to kind of start watching things, and you may be able to, you know, to moderate it back. And especially if we had an inch of rain three nights ago at our house. So I have
that. Yeah, I was going to say, speak for yourself.
Well,
it was very localized. If you go to rainlog.org, you can see how localized it was. It was just, you're in my neighborhood.
We had just enough in Whitman that you had to wash the window the next morning before you could drive off.
Yeah. Chaparral and Hayden was less than a tenth of an inch.
Well, and we didn't even measure at Harper's Nursery on Hayden and Thomas. Didn't even have, I checked the rain gauge, it wasn't even measurable.
Isn't that incredible?
So it is, and the monsoon's like that, right? So you can get Whitman may get it next time. Yeah. And, you know, but if you do get it, you can actually turn, and I turned mine off for a couple of days. Just don't remember to turn it back on. Don't forget to turn it back on. But, you know, take advantage of that. So it really is a healing process for plants. Almost everybody probably has some plants that got a little sun damage.
Now, we've got the water challenge going between you and I, right?
Right.
We started this last year, that if we can get everybody to reduce 10% of their residential water consumption, we actually save a year's worth of water for the entire state. So if everybody just cuts back 10%.
So one thing that I did is instead of planting a lot of little summer annuals to go through the summer, I planted some bougainvilleas and some things in my pots for summer color that don't take as much water. Because I got a lot of pots, and you start adding that up every day, every day, every day. It's a lot of water.
And you do have an impressive display. You're not like the cobbler that has that kids have no shoes. Well, you're the nurseryman that has a nice yard.
Yeah. So John Jay and I challenged each other who could serve the most. I'm going to win.
You're beating me, I think.
But I'm cheating.
How much lawn did you take out?
I'm cheating. I'm going to beat him, but I'm cheating.
And that's pretty close because y'all kind of got into that organically after we had a water attorney on, was last August when we were at the
We got to compare
Westworld
our water bills, and we were consuming Expo. Virtually the same amount of gallonage per month.
So we're almost at up at that year. That'll be fun. Yep. Do we have a prize? What's the winner get? Is it just bragging rights?
No. No. It'll be all expense paid trip somewhere.
The loser cuts the other... The winners
probably have to
for
show each other our fishing hotspot.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, one thing that you can do, and I actually posted a picture of this yesterday, is, you know, let some of the leaf litter and things accumulate and fall under your even desert shrubs. Even though you've got this really nice, pretty decorative rock, just right at the base of the plant. You can rake up around it, but right at the base of the plant, leave some of that. It's mulch. It'll help the ground stay moist longer. Mulch things in your flower beds. If you still have a vegetable garden going, make sure there's a layer of mulch on top of that so it doesn't dry out so quick. Don't try and grow things in the wrong season. You know, I see a lot of people spending a lot of time, energy, and water trying to grow vegetables in an off season, shading them, trying to get them through the summer, that sort of thing.
We're going to be talking about that a little bit, about plants you shouldn't be trying so hard to grow in Arizona.
Yeah, that's another thing on the...
That's a good theme.
The finicky plants. They're finicky here for a reason. Now, every plant is finicky at my house. I'm just going to say that.
And it has nothing to do with someone's green thumb, right?
Or lack of.
Or lack of.
Man, it's bad.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join the conversation. We bring Jim in from Saddlebrook. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. I've got two questions. One, I've got a house here, 28 years old, and it's got three live oak trees that I'm pretty sure are 28 years old. Those trees have never stopped dropping leaves, and I wonder if that is normal.
Well, a tree that's evergreen, like a live oak, so it just stays leafed out year-round, will, in fact, lose some leaves on an ongoing basis. They should have a very significant leaf drop in the spring. Most live oaks, usually probably March-ish, will really have a lot of leaves turn yellow, fall off. At the same time, they're putting on a whole bunch of new growth, and it's a pretty significant leaf drop. The tree never goes bare or anything, but periodically then through the year, you are going to still lose some. That's a little bit of the misnomer that people think that trees that are evergreen, like oaks, like sumacs, like some of our desert trees, are cleaner. They're really not. They just lose leaves. Instead of losing them all at one time, like an ash or a pistache or a mulberry or something like that, that just goes boom, you know. Over the course of a month, maybe they lose every leaf. Your evergreen trees are just constantly losing some leaves. Usually there's a period when it's heavier than others. But as long as they're healthy and they're putting on new growth, that's just kind of the drill with them, that they're going to lose some leaves here and there.
Okay, well, they're not getting bare, but it's I guess I'll quit worrying about them.
How long have you lived there?
I've got three citrus trees, and they're on a drip irrigation system, and I've mulched them. When I need to fertilize those trees, is it necessary to remove the mulch and then put the fertilizer down and then replace the mulch?
No, absolutely not. All fertilizers are soluble to some degree. Just put it on and take the hose and kind of really wash it down good through into the mulch, and then just let your watering system take it the rest of the way. You could scratch it into the mulch a little. Depends on how deep your mulch is, I suppose. But just make sure it's just not sitting up there on top, waiting for the next rain or something to wash it in. You can do that manually.
Well, that's good. They'll get fertilized a lot more often that way.
You bet. It's a great way to fertilize. And you get the fertilizer on evenly distributed. The other thing is make sure that fertilizer is out closer to the drip line of the tree, not right up by the trunk.
Right.
Hey, Jim, we've had a couple pretty good rain shower events up here in Maricopa County. How about Pima County? Y'all seen any rain yet?
Well, there's been a lot of rain, but somehow most of it has missed my house.
That sounds like my house. You can watch a rain cloud follow the Hacienda River, and you can watch the rain cloud follow the Agua Fria. And we're like in this high spot in the middle that we get missed for about a month before we finally get our shower.
Well, the showers in Tucson are awfully pretty to watch. It's just
especially
up there, watching the
Catalinas.
Yeah, pretty, pretty, pretty.
Now, Julie, I'm looking for it, and I haven't been able to locate it yet. I thought I had it in my book, but not. But Arizona Farm Bureau has a wheel, and it shows this, you know, of our $1.4 billion that the Arizona farmers and ranchers bring in.
Actually,
$17.1 billion
is our industry aggregate of what we bring into the economy.
A good portion of that are melons.
Yes.
And it's another great harvest that's ready in addition to corn right now.
If you break out that wheel, it's on Fill Your Plate, and you can also find it on azfb.org. But if you break out the wheel and combine all your fruits and vegetables, it's actually the majority of what we grow and produce in Arizona. And so we always like to highlight the fact that it represents one of your healthiest diets, which is the Mediterranean diet. But you are correct. Melons is one of the significant contributions and one of the significant crops. And, of course, that's what we're seeing a lot right now because it's summer. A lot of your melons, your sweet corn, staying in the fruits and vegetables category, it's amazing what we can produce here in this little desert state. I say little because if you compare us to California and Florida, of course, they're going to be triple the amount we are when it comes to that aggregate of contribution. But it's really significant. It's pretty neat.
Mark in Glendale's next, and you can jump on the line now at 1-888-767-4348.